Hello and welcome to Failing Boldly, a podcast that invites people to share stories about failure, resilience, and perseverance. I'm Christian Kuhn, author of the book Failing Boldly and pastor of Urban Village Church in Chicago. My guest for this week's podcast is Daphne Clark. Daphne is a Chicago area native who now is an actress in Los Angeles. She's a recurring guest star in the TV show The Fosters, in addition to numerous other roles. This spring, she is launching a one-woman show called Pieces, a look at her own life, the challenges that she's had, and how she's been able to overcome her struggles and find her purpose. In this episode, we talk about the challenges of making it as a working actor in Hollywood and being a role model for others. I hope you enjoy it. Well, Daphne Clark, thank you so much for joining me on the Failing Boldly podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, I usually ask folks just to give a little bit of background about themselves. So if you could talk a little bit about a general overview of how you became an actress and what made you decide to move to California. I would imagine they go hand in hand, but I'm always interested in hearing that part of a person's story.
Wow. Hope you have enough time. So I'm originally from Chicago, born and raised, and I knew very early on that I wanted to be in entertainment and I wanted to be an actress just because of my life. And for me, acting was a way of escaping and really just going into the lives of characters and just being whoever you wanted to be in the moment to escape my life. I come from a very interesting and dysfunctional family, to say the least. And with that being said, it was a way for me really to just explore my talent, explore my gift, but really kind of understand, you know, why my life is the way it was or was the way it was, and how I was going to be able to basically live with that, I guess you can say. So I did a lot of plays in, you know, in grade school. And then I just knew that I wanted to be an actress. And however that was going to happen, I was going to do it. Went to Columbia College in Chicago, put myself through college. 2 years after I graduated, I wanted to, you know, you have to save up and everything to move to LA. It's not an inexpensive town. And then 2 years after I graduated, I moved to LA. Not knowing anyone here, not knowing, you know, what was going to really happen, I just decided now was the time to go. With that being said, I got here in 2009, July 2009, and I worked really, really hard in the sense of honing my craft. Even though I had already went to college, LA is a very different town and industry because it's film and television, and Chicago's more of a theater background. So it's good to have a theater background, but for television and film, you kind of have to retrain yourself. So I found a really amazing class, the Breaking Through Acting Workshop, ran by Troy Skinner, who's my acting coach, and found him at a different acting class, and then he opened up his own. And then I studied really, really hard for 4 years, honed my craft. And then I booked a role on the show, The Fosters. Now, at this time, it was just, you know, one-time thing, not knowing that a year later, they were going to bring me back and write me into the show. With that being said, that was kind of like my big break, if you will. And my character on the show and my storyline relates to my life. So for me, it was kind of like a God smack. Does it make sense? Of like, hey, this is what you've been through, but this is how it's going to make sense to you and to the world. So I was like, wow, okay, got it. So I portray a 17-year-old juvenile delinquent with a 2-year-old daughter in foster care. Now, in my real life, I come from foster care. I was raised by my biological aunt. My parents were not able to take care of me. So I totally understand that background, that life. So for me, it was really not a challenge, but it wasn't easy to portray it as well, just because it hit home for me. So that's kind of been the platform that I have been on for the last 4 years.
Yeah, and it sounds, it's from what little I know of actors who go out to LA, that getting that first role on something that's pretty permanent, even that is, I would imagine, it's kind of a minority of actors who get that break. Is that true?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's rare that that type of situation happens. You know, you're booked for this particular role and then, you know, they write you into the show. That doesn't happen all the time. And to get your big break at any given time that you're in LA is a dream come true. So especially for minorities in the industry. Mm. So for me, it was God and it was my dream happening at the very same time.
Yeah. Well, speaking of what I know about the acting world, knowing that actors, or hearing anyway, stories about actors who almost have to get used to rejection because they hear the phrase something like "you're not right for the part" over and over and over again. So I'm wondering what keeps you going when you face rejection multiple times?
Well, you know, when I was in college, one of my instructors told me that 1% of actors actually make it in LA. And that you're really moving there to just be auditioning all the time because literally 1% make it. So I knew that coming into to the situation and moving across the country. But I feel like life really prepares you for rejection, prepares you for this industry. It allows you to be stronger than you can even imagine. And it prepares you to have tough skin. For me, there was never a doubt in my mind, a fear that I wasn't going to make it, that my dream wasn't going to come true. It was just a matter of time. So for me, it wasn't anything of, you know, okay, well, let me go back home after this, you know, this casting director doesn't want to book me for the show, or okay, they're going in another direction, so I might as well give up. No, it's just a matter of time for when you're able to shine. So you just got to keep going. The role for you will come your way. My acting coach always tells me the train will not leave the station until you get there. So what is for you is for you, and nobody can ever take it from you. So I've kind of learned to just adapt to that mentality. And yes, I'm going to go out for roles. And yes, I'm going to audition. I'm not going to book everything. Everything is not for me. So I had to learn that really, really, really early on. Not to say we don't, you know, have feelings and we don't get a little bit discouraged and we don't feel bad. But that doesn't make it so that you have to give up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Do you get to a point where you just don't take it personally? Were you able to get to that place pretty quickly? Or did it take you some time to get to the point where you're not taking it personally?
Well, I used to take it personal all the time when I knew that I killed that role, or I knew I did so well in that audition. Like there was just no doubt that they were going to pick me. And then I started to really take it personal, like, well, what was wrong? Like, what did I do wrong? Or what happened? Did I not dress right? Or did I not say the right things? But then I had to be like, I did the best that I could, and I know my talent, and it spoke for itself, so I'm okay with that. And I did have to learn that. It took me a little bit of time, because when you audition and you're an artist and an actress and an actor, whatever you want to call yourself, you give everything you have in that moment, because it's your one shot that could change your life forever. So you put everything you have into that one moment. So when you don't get it, it's like a slap in the face. It's like a, you know, but then you have to realize, okay, but you just made an impression on somebody and you just, you know, show them your talent. So maybe not for this role, but maybe they'll call you in for another role, or maybe they'll remember you down the line. And I think that's what happened with the Fosters. I made such an impression the first time that they wrote me into the show. So that was just a prime example of like, okay, at some point your faith has to kick in and you have to just be okay with doing the best you can and moving on and just leaving it in that room. You can't take it home with you. You can't, you know, take it back to the car with you and drive home with it. You just have to leave it there and move on.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the question around if there are any benefits to getting turned down, or in the context of this podcast, calling it a failure. The benefit, it seems like, that you've really grown, or that one could hopefully grow emotionally, of being able to give it their all in that one audition, and being able to, as you said, leave it there, that the rejections help you get to that place.
Oh, absolutely. The benefit of it, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, everything, is that you're stronger, you're wiser, you learn from every experience that you have. To me, in that sense, there really isn't a failure in that aspect of it. Because everything that you experience in life is a blessing and a lesson, you know, and you can take it as such. So for me, there's always been a benefit. Every audition I go on, I'm learning something. I'm growing from it. I'm taking something with me in the sense of, okay, well, you know what, I could do this differently, or, you know, I'll try this next time. Or, you know, you just discover more of who you are as an artist. And that's the beauty of it, because you're not going to book every single role. I mean, if you do, you know, God bless you, but not every role is for you, you know. Sometimes it's just throwing something to the wall to see if it sticks. I mean, sometimes the casting directors don't even know what they want until it walks into the room. You know, they don't, you know, so it's just kind of like playing the lottery. You see what numbers you have, and you see what comes up, and if it's a match. So that's kind of how it is.
Yeah. I wonder, I can't imagine what it would be. The competition must be like, as you sit there outside the room where they're doing auditions, and you're there with multiple other actors. What is that like? What is that like to just sit there knowing that there are lots of people here, they all want the exact same thing I do? Or is this just, that's just the way it is in the industry? And again, you just get used to it.
Well, for me, there is no competition. I'm my own competition. And I learned that early on as well, because during my training, I've been trained to challenge myself, to be in competition with myself, to always make myself better every single day. So when I go to auditions, I just look at everybody like, if I don't get it, I hope somebody in this room gets it. You know what I mean? Because there's enough room for everybody to make it. There's no like, okay, well, I have to, you know, hate on this person in order for me to succeed. No, I rather encourage and help, because I know I'm going to make it too. It's just a matter of time. It's, you know, it's like a marathon, you know, we're all going to cross the finish line. It just depends on the speed that you're at and you know, where you are in the race, but you're still going to cross the finish line. So there's yeah, never been competition to me. You know, I love to see women, especially minority women, winning and succeeding. And I love encouraging, and people ask me all the time to help and to advise them and to, you know, guide them. And to me, it's a blessing to be in such a position where people look up to you and they want your advice and they want to know, you know, how you did it. So there's never been a competition thing for me ever.
Yeah, that would seem to me, maybe I'm wrong. Well, A, it seems like a very mature, it is a mature outlook and philosophy. Would you say that is the norm in the acting industry, that most people feel the same way that you do, that it's not a competition, but it's you competing against yourself, or using the metaphor you brought up earlier, that there's a train for everybody. It's just a matter of finding which train to get on, which train is for you. Do you think the outlook that you just shared with me, is that the norm in the industry, or is that an anomaly that most people don't have that outlook?
No, so that mindset is not the norm in LA, and I always consider LA a planet, because it's not like any other place in the world. People come here, they compete against each other. They're always trying to outdo, you know, the next person. They're always worried about what the next person has, how the next person got what they have. And to me, if you just stay in your lane and focus on yourself, your dreams will come true. And I feel like a lot of it is knowing why you're doing what you're doing. I know that God gave me this talent and a purpose with it, because God just doesn't bless you with a talent. He gives you a gift to give to the world and a purpose behind it. So if you are strong in who you are and you know that you can stand in your truth and be in your own lane, you won't worry about the next person. You'll be more willing to help than to hinder.
Yeah.
So I find that it's not the norm out here. And I find myself educating a lot of people on, you know, just being okay with who you are, standing in your truth, honing your craft, being the artist that you are, and knowing your purpose in life. And with all that being said, the world, you know, is your oyster. The sky's the limit for you. So yeah, it's really tough when you battle those types of people with those mindsets, because you feel like you stand alone and you're fighting this whole big battle with all these other people. But for me, you know, I'm more of someone that loves to encourage and to inspire and motivate than to hinder and block and to hate.
So, yeah. Would you say that this, a lot of this stems from your faith? This attitude stems from your faith?
You know, before I moved to LA, you know, I was I grew up in the church. My grandmother took us to church every Sunday. And you know, for our church, we stayed there for days on end. You know, it seems like we were there for weeks on end, you know, we're like, can we go home now? But I really didn't understand my faith until I moved to LA. I really didn't, because at the end of the day, all you have is yourself and God and your faith in your dream. That's it. That's all you have to depend on. In those dark times, in those weary moments, you have to depend on Him and to know and believe that everything that you've ever wanted in life is going to happen. You know, you can't call anybody. You can't, you know, pick up the phone and call your mom. Even though your mom is your biggest supporter, God is the one that is carrying you through this entire journey. So my faith kicked in the moment I set foot in LA, because this place can eat you alive. It really can. You can get lost out here, get distracted. You know, there's so many, I want to say demonic things out here that can really take you from who you are. So for me, my faith has always grounded me. It's been the one thing that I can never let go of, and I can never doubt or fear, because it's the one thing that gets me up in the morning. It's the one thing that motivates me. It's the one that thing inspires me to keep going. And with that, other people look to me to do the same for them.
Does that, again, I guess going back to if that's the norm, or if it's out of character, I suppose, to have a faith, and to have a faith that it sounds like, anyway, that you live out, that you are not bashful about sharing, do folks look at you a little funny because of that? Or do people just kind of accept it and say, well, that's your thing, let me do my thing?
Well, I've kind of learned that with my platform being on the Fosters and the fan base of it, a lot of people look to me for that reassurance in faith and in God, because in LA, it's not as big as it should be. Where, you know, if you're somewhere in Chicago, you know, faith may be a little bit bigger because it's the Midwest, you know, or the East Coast or things of that nature. But LA is a place you can come and you can change exactly how you look, who you are, become whoever you want to be, and nobody will ever know what you used to be. Right. So with that being said, people look to me to say, okay, it's okay to have faith, and it's okay to believe in God, and it's okay to let people know that you are a Christian, or, you know, you do believe in X, Y, and Z. And it's okay to do that. And I stand by that 100%, because without God, I'm nothing. And if I die tomorrow, I would have died being happy, knowing that I've done a small part of what I wanted to do, but God was with me the whole way, as opposed to making it, having an Oscar, and doing it the demonic way, or doing it the way God wouldn't have wanted me to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm content with that. And I think a lot of people are learning to be to think that way, and to say, okay, you know, I have a choice. I can give all honor and glory to God, or I can do this the opposite way and make it really fast in this industry, and then I can come crumbling down. You know what I mean? So with that being said, a lot of people look for me for that reassurance, and I'm glad to give it to them, because at the end of the day, if we didn't have God, I don't know where this world would be right now.
Yeah. You mentioned a couple times earlier about being an actor, particularly a woman of color in the acting industry, and the particular challenges that brings too. I was wondering if you could reflect a little bit on that. What keeps you going when you experience racism, or when you experience situations where you have that sense that that you're being discriminated against? What keeps you going in those moments?
Well, being a woman of color is hard. Being a biracial woman is even harder, because at the end of the day, I'm a woman, I'm an artist, and I just want to do what I love to do, right? And I want to just have a very universal career where I can play any character, I can do anything I want to do and be successful at it. But I'm constantly reminded that I am a woman of color, and that there are a very small pool of opportunities for me. And I think outside the box. So I think the impossible, you know what I mean? I think what people can't think. And so for me, I will never limit myself, but I do realize that the world sees me as a particular race. It sees me as a particular this or that. And I don't see myself like that. So when I've had to deal with adversity my entire life. So I'm used to it. I'm kind of immune to the pain of it, but it still hurts, right? So with that being said, to me, we live in a world where racism has never gone away. I think it's kind of, history is repeating itself right now. And so with what's happening in the world and then what's happening in the industry, it's a mirror reflection of itself. So for us women of color, we have to fight 10 times harder for what we want, but we'll get it. It's just, we shouldn't always have to be fighting for something that should already be given to us, because at the end of the day, it's still an opportunity. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's difficult. It's difficult, but God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers, because he knows that they can fight that war. So for me, I'm just a soldier. And there's going to be many more battles, and there's going to be many more wars. And the more I fight, the stronger I get, the tough skin I have, the ability I have to continue to go on. So to me, it's just another battle I fight every day.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm impressed with the way the faith that you have, and just the perseverance that you have too. I'm wondering if, I usually ask folks if they wouldn't mind sharing a story or two of a time when they did fail. And so I don't know if you have any stories that come to mind, whether it's professionally or personally, that come to mind as you look back on things that really didn't go well, during that moment.
I will say, I can't really think of anything in my career, but in my personal life, I feel like I have failed my family. And when I say that, I mean, there's a chosen one in each family. You see all these A-list celebrities, and then you see their families, and you know that they're the ones that made it for their family. The golden child, I like to call them. And so when you're that chosen one, and you're the only one that can see your dream and see your vision, and you're the only one that believes in yourself, because your family may not have that same mentality or that same outlook, or their mind really doesn't go that far. They want to stay where they're comfortable. You find yourself having to separate yourself in order to succeed, meaning either taking time away from your family, moving across the country. And when I did that, I felt really bad. I felt really guilty about leaving my family behind, or not really talking to them for months at a time, because I had to focus on my dream. And I feel like I missed out on a lot. I feel like I missed out on time spending with them, memories we could have shared, me really kind of taking care of my mother and getting to really know her, since I didn't grow up with her. And we don't know if tomorrow's promised. So for me, it's like, well, how do I still pursue this dream and still have a connection to my family without letting their issues and their lives affect mine? And there's no balance. It's one or the other. And you have to choose. You have to make a decision to succeed or to help and succeed along the way. Mine was, I had to separate myself. I had to really disconnect in order to find who I was and become who I wanted to be. So in that sense, I feel like I failed them. That was a failure in my life. And now I'm trying to get back to having that connection and, you know, before it's too late, because, you know, the last thing I want is somebody to pass away and I didn't have that time. But it's really difficult. You have to, in this industry, you have to make tough decisions and choices and eventually live with them at the end of the day, but then not knowing if they're the right ones or, you know, okay, well, can I balance this and balance that? And sometimes you just can't, you know? And for me, it was just really difficult to try to do both at the same time, because family tends to depend on you to make it in order to take care of them.
Yeah.
We all have 24 hours in a day. We all have the same opportunities, but they make that one person the one that's going to make it.
Right. Is part of this healing process for you coming out with this one woman show that you're in the process of creating, called Pieces, where it's part, I think you had told me that it's a one woman show. And it's your story. And is that part of this process of connecting and perhaps healing some of the brokenness that you might feel with your family?
Absolutely. This one woman show is one part personal, one part my career. And it's going to show why and how I became an actress. And it's going to show my life from birth until now. And all the adversity, all the obstacles, the different people that molded me into who I am, and dealing with the brokenness and dealing with the pain of it all, and finally letting the world know who I am and being okay with that. Sometimes we're ashamed and we're afraid of where we come from, not knowing that God strategically placed you in that life so that you can come out and be a testimony, because he took you through that entire test of your life. And you did not know it. You're just like, God, why? Why this life? Why this family? Why this? Why that? In reality, it's why not you? Why not, you know, that life? Why not this and that? Sometimes you have to know that there's a blessing in the most darkest things of your life. There's a blessing in it, you know, because you're the chosen one. God picked you specifically to go through all that, to come out on the other end, to tell somebody else so that they can get through it. And I didn't learn that until I moved to LA. Wow. Okay, God, I hear you. I got it. I had a dream. He had a purpose. And so we met in the middle, and then here I am.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your taking time to share a little bit about your own story and your career. And
thank you.
I'm grateful for your view, and hopefully others can listen to that, particularly when it comes to having a faith in themselves and a resilience in moments when it seems like things are not going their way.
Well, thank you. I do too. That's what I pray for a lot of people, because the way this world is going, we have to hold onto God as tight as we can, because we're not going to make it if we don't. So for me, it's about giving back, inspiring, motivating, encouraging, to let people know, like, you can make it through anything, and you don't have to be, you know, a victim of your circumstance. You can rise above it and be whoever you want to be.
Good. Well, that's a good word to leave on. Daphne Clark, thank you once again for being on the podcast.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And that is this week's episode. Thanks again to Daphne Clark for speaking with me. You can learn more about Daphne and her career by going to her website, daphneclark.com. That's daphneclark.com. I hope you will subscribe to this podcast. My next conversation is with the author and pastor, Reverend Lillian Daniel, To learn more about my book and the ministry I'm a part of, you can go to my website, christiankuhn.com. Thanks again for listening.